We continue with the word faith phonies with Benny Hinn and his shenanigans. Let's just begin to just settle in and listen to this guy and hear what he says. Listen to this.
Anyone who doesn't give is blind.
All right. Benny starts off and he says that if you do not give, and he doesn't mean give of your time, he doesn't mean give of your spiritual gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. He is talking about money. That's his primary argument. Anyone that doesn't give money is spiritually blind. Now, what we want you to do is we want you to listen to the words of the word faith phonies and to answer yourself, why is that just so abstract and so wrong?
And if you want a healing tonight for your finances, you get to that phone now.
Now, he says that if you want a healing for your finances, meaning that if you do not have money and a lot of it, that means that your money finances are sick. Now, here again, he's using words which defy human understanding here, as finances are an entity within themselves, and that if you do not have the money that you feel or you deem necessary, then you need to get to the telephone. Now, why does he send you to the telephone? See, the word faith phony, when he's talking on Channel 40 and talking to you like that, he's trying to get you to go to the phone and so that you might do this.
And you say, I want to make a pledge, and I want Benny Hinn to pray that God break the devil of poverty over my life.
You want to make a pledge, and you want Benny Hinn to pray the devil of poverty out of your life. In other words, I need Benny Hinn to do it. Well, now here's a question that I ask. Since I have a relationship with God, and since I'm a Christian, why can't I pray the devil out of my life? See, and so now what he does is he's setting you up because he's trying to say that I have something to do that you can't do. And then, of course, while he's doing this, he's flashing his jewelry and everything all on you. Because, you see, and that's what you're doing is you're looking at what he has, all the material that he's accomplished. But let's listen to how this guy accomplishes this stuff.
I don't know how long we have still, but, what, another 15 minutes or so?
In other words, he's talking about how much time do I have, Paul and Jan, on Channel 40 here. Well, I got 15 minutes or so before Praise the Lord goes off the air. Okay. Well, I'm going to make very good use of this time. Now, if someone gave me time to do TV, I wouldn't use a scheme like Benny is using, but he's an artist. Check him out.
People, I want you to do it now. Get to the phones. Get to the phones. Get to the phones now. Let me tell you something. The quicker you do it, the quicker your miracle comes.
All right. The quicker you get to the phone and call and make a pledge to TBN, to give money, the quicker your miracle comes. Now, a loose and silly-minded person might think that way, but I would want you to think this way. What is my having to do to get to the phone and writing a check or giving them money off of my credit card has to do with God releasing a blessing to me? Has God really said this? What makes that so? What if I didn't have any money? Would God withhold my blessings because I don't do what Benny Hinn asked me to do?
May I add, if you want a big harvest, sow a big seed.
Ah, so Benny, if I want a lot of money from God, I got to give a lot of money. Well, why don't I just do it this way, Benny? Why don't I just keep my money and then God wouldn't have to give me no money? That sounds like a deal to me.
He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly.
I know where that is, but that has nothing to do with money. That has to do with the offering of your spiritual benefits for the cause of Christ. That has nothing to do with finances, Benny.
He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully.
Ah, so that's what it means. So if I give a lot of money, I'll get a lot of money. Well, here again, my form of reasoning, if that's what the text of Scripture means, if I got a lot of money already, why should I give it to you to give more? And another thing is, what have you given? You know, what have you given? Since you've gotten a heck of a lot, you must have given a heck of a lot, right? No, he keeps all the stuff that you people have gotten and given to him, and that's where he gets all of his bounty from.
And the Bible says the same year Isaac sowed, he reaped, and the same year you sow, you'll reap. So start to sow now.
Oh, so in other words, if you start sowing, you'll reap, and so start sowing now. Well, how about get out and get a job and get a life, and you reap some finances? Instead of, I mean, I don't know how God is going to, through the hocus pocus rigmarole, rain down a $10 bill just for you.
Get to your phones and do it in the name of Jesus. We come against the devil of poverty in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Look, this is all in the Bible. And brother, let me tell you something. The wicked are piling up the funds, and I love the way John teaches on this. He's the best there is when it comes to teaching you on how to get the wealth of the wicked.
He's talking about John Avezzini, because John Avezzini has a teaching that all of the money that the sinners have, such as the mafioso and all of that, and wicked people, drug dealers, swindlers, embezzlers, we as Christians should be greedy for the money of those kinds of people. Now, I know that you won't believe me, but continue to listen.
Man, I like it. But I'll tell you something, saints, and each one of us has our own revelations, I know, and God speaks to us in a whole different way, but it's all in the Bible.
In other words, each one of us can come up with our foolishness, but it's all in the Bible, and God speaks with everybody in their own foolish way. So I know it sounds dumb, and you're looking at me like I'm stupid, but I'm not stupid. This is God speaking to me, and you just should believe it because I said it, right? I mean, that's what kind of a dummy-up fool I expect the church to be.
All in the Bible. Proverbs 13:22. You all know it. They got to know it again. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the wicked and the sinner is laid up for the just. Say after me, all of you. Everybody say it. The wealth of the wicked is mine. Say it. One more time. One more time.
Now, you know, we got this. Simon says, do this, do that. The wealth of the wicked is mine. Now, this is on Channel 40, man. This is on television. And you got to see Jan and Paul and all the rest of them up there grinning, man, the wealth of the wicked is mine. Listen to that mentality. I want filthy lucre. That's what these so-called Christians are saying. Give me filthy lucre. Benny, you want to continue with this charade?
You know what Numbers 14:28 says? Numbers 14:28 says, if you'll say it, I'll do it. That's what God says. Numbers 14:28 says, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken it in mine ears, so will I do it to you.
Well now, was he talking about money there, though? I mean, I think that we need to do some strict biblical exegesis on that text. No, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm just talking for you folk that are listening to me. You're going to do the research. You heard the scripture that he's talking about. Now, are you going to do the research? I know that that's not what that means. I'm not going to listen. Every time these word faith phonies say something, I'm not going to go through an 80-minute exegesis lesson for you. This guy, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Yeah, but what does the Bible mean? What did it mean within the context of the original writer to the original reader? Surely it could not have the same connotation that he's given today. Then that would make all Christians money mongers or money whores. My gosh.
So when you confess it, you're activating the supernatural force of God.
Ah, so when you confess it, you're activating the supernatural force of God. Now, is that in the Bible? Because he's using that numbers text to say that. See, that's how you can activate the supernatural force of God to give you money. Well, since I can confess it, I'll just say this. I'm not giving him any money. I'm not calling anything. But I'm confessing that God is going to send me money. Why doesn't it work that way? I'm not going to give you a penny, but I'm confessing that God is going to do it, and I'm activating the word of faith. No, because it's that dollar bill that Benny wants, and he'd never tell you to do it that way. Right.
Do you know that confession activates heaven?
Confession activates heaven? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I have never read any scripture anywhere in the Bible where it says that confession activates heaven. Meaning, like, I guess that means that the heavenly realm where God is every time you make a confession here on earth, it kind of like starts a triggering system that in some kind of supernatural way, now God is going to start raining down greenback on you. Whoa, what a teaching.
Confession releases the spirit world.
Now, he said that confession releases the spirit world. And you know what? He's absolutely correct there. But confession releases the spirit world of demons, you see, but not activating heaven where God is. And so he's talking about the kind of spirit world he's talking about, are demon spirit worlds. Check him out. All right, he'll give us more.
You givers torment the devil every time you give.
If I'm a giver, I'm tormenting the devil. Now, here again, I guess that's in the Bible, too. Now, I want, you know, but he's not going to give any Bible verses for this. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. But he says that when we give, we torment the devil. How else, Benny?
And you that do not give, please him.
Oh, wait a minute. If I give my ducats, I tick off the devil, and if I don't give my ducats, I'm making Satan happy. Now, I want to know how Satan, Beelzebub, the wicked one, what he has to do with money. And what me giving money to Benny Hinn, how that makes Satan happy or sad. I don't see the connection unless Benny Hinn is an imp of Satan, which I think he is. Listen.
If I'm not tormenting him, I'm pleasing him. Always remember this. Giving shows I have God's nature.
And giving shows that I have God's nature. Now, he's talking about giving money. Giving money shows that you have the nature of God. I've never read that in the Bible anywhere. That's nowhere in the New Testament, at least. And what?
And holding back shows I have the devil's nature.
Well, I'm holding back, buddy. I'm not sending you anything. So you're calling me a Satanist because I won't give you money? You can kiss my grits. That's what you can do, and that's where you Christians need to talk to these word faith phonies. Why don't we tell him that to his face whenever we see him? I don't know what we're so afraid of. Check him out.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You say you're stepping on my toes. No, I'm breaking your foot.
No, you're not really breaking my foot, man. I mean, you know what? It's ludicrous to listen to this idiot, but, you know. What can I say?
So if you're a giver, you're like God. If you're a keeper and holding back, you know you're like who, and I don't think I should say that.
You've already said it. You've already said it. But see, now what he's trying to do is he's trying to manipulate the crowd and put guilt on you. Because you see, when you're sitting in large auditoriums and places like that, and then you see people pull out the checkbook and start writing the check and everything, and you haven't pulled anything out, then they start looking at you and they start saying, you're for the devil. See, and that is crowd manipulation. And so Benny Hinn is a chief facilitator, and he does that very, very well. And you have to realize that when the church is not thinking for themselves, in other words, when you go to a church meeting and you know that you only have 50 cents to give, because you have to pay the rent, put food in your baby's mouths, and take care of everything, well, why would you think about giving this joker anything, just anything?
Because I don't think any of you are like that. Uh-uh. You're all like your Father in heaven. Say amen.
See, he's trying to get everybody. See, you all are, all are you going to give, right? Amen. Yep. I got a general consensus that they're going to give because I put this guilt trip on them. I would have been sitting in the first row laughing at him, throwing my hand up and saying, Benny, you out of your mind.
See, God the Father,
what,
is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. But each one of them is a triune being by himself.
That's worse than modalism. That is blasphemy. But whoever said that the word faithers know anything about true Christian theology? Benny, call me.
If I can shock you, and maybe I should, there's nine of them.
There's nine deities Benny, what?
What did you say?
Let me explain. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person with his own personal spirit, with his own personal soul, and his own personal spirit body.
Now, when you listen to Benny Hinn and you see him on Channel 40 and you know that he's made these statements, you got to ask yourself one very serious question, ladies and gentlemen. And here's a serious question. What in the name of Jesus am I doing listening to this clown? Why?
You say, I never heard that. Well, you think you're in the church to hear things you heard for the last 50 years?
You see, that's what he's saying. See, they're trying to destroy Orthodox Christianity, and that's what the word faithers do. And the people just laugh in the background, hey, you know, all giddy, just taken away by this lunatic. Give me more, Benny.
Ladies and gentlemen, a serpent is a symbol of Satan. Jesus Christ knew the only way he would stop Satan is by becoming one in nature with him.
Jesus Christ becomes one in nature with Satan. Now, that just does away totally with the representational view that Christ was not touched by Adam's seed of sin. So therefore, since Christ became one in nature with Satan, it's just difficult for me to, excuse me, I'm drinking a little warm coffee. It's difficult for me to conceive what Benny just said, but let you mature believers continue to listen to this lunatic talk. Listen to this.
What did you say?
What did you say?
What blasphemy is it? No.
Well, at least, you see, but they're so sure of themselves that he can play these word games with himself. Because what he's trying to do to you, the listener, is he's trying to get you to follow the point with him because he doesn't have a personal belief in God or true Christian orthodoxy. He believes none of that. So therefore, he can make these statements as such. And then you're sitting out there saying, yeah, yeah, aren't you using blasphemy?
You hear this? He did not take my sin. He became my sin.
He's talking about Jesus now. Jesus became my sin. And did you hear how he said, became demon possessed? I mean, Jesus, man. So the Holy Christ child that was born in Bethlehem, the one to whom Mary had the Christ child, and she knew no man. She was not tainted by human semen in any way when she had that child. Now this idiot is saying, this blasphemer, and that's what he is saying that Jesus became sin.
Sin is the nature of hell. Sin is what made Satan.
But Jesus became that, because that's what Benny's saying, right?
You remember, he wasn't Satan until sin was found in him.
He wasn't Satan until sin was found in him. Yeah, all right, so he's quoting from Ezekiel.
Lucifer was perfect, then Ezekiel says, sin was found in thee. It was sin that made Satan. Jesus said, I'll be sin. I'll go to the lowest place. I'll go to the origin of it.
Where did Jesus say that? He never said that. And you guys got to know that. This guy is from the pit of hell itself. I mean, this guy is truly wicked. Check him out.
I won't just take part of it. I'll be the totality of it.
Ooh, in other words, Jesus says, I'm going to become the... And so now we have God now becoming the epitome of wickedness. And which that does is that outright contradicts the book of James when James writes and says that God cannot be tempted with evil. And now this nitwit Beelzebub speaking spewed out juice of all human debauchery, says that my Lord and Savior was that. Disgusting creature that he is. Oh, I'm speaking about Benny Hinn, not Jesus.
When Jesus became sin, sir, he took it from A to Z and said, no more.
He took it from A to Z and said, no more. I guess he came to himself and said, woo, I don't want to be sin no more.
Think about this.
Think about what?
He became flesh that flesh might become like him.
He became flesh that flesh might become like him. What in the world did he just say?
He became death so dying man can live.
He became death so that dying man can live. No, I read in the book of Genesis that he said to Adam, for the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. It was inevitable. He knew that. He told Adam that.
He became sin so sinners can be righteous in him.
Oh, man, you're rewriting the whole book. And that would be a nice four-part sermon outline, Benny, but it's not biblical, fool.
He became one with the nature of Satan, so all those who have the nature of Satan can partake of the nature of God.
Oh, so that's what he did. I thought that his atoning sacrifice on Calvary, you know, wasn't it Pilate that said, I find no fault in this man? All right, isn't it stated all throughout, especially in the book of Hebrews, that he became the propitiation for our sins, the payment for the sins? It didn't say that he became sin. No. No, Benny, you twist it. Oh, well, I can't convince him.
When you say, I am saved, what are you saying?
Well, what are you saying? Because when I say that I am saved, I meant that the atoning sacrificial work of Christ shedding his blood on the cross and his calling me and me responding to his call as a believer in Christ Jesus, I am justified for the rest of my days as I live up to the standards of the living Word of God.
You're saying I am a Christian. What does that word mean?
Wait a minute. I didn't say that. I just gave you, well, all right, go ahead. What are you talking about?
It means I'm anointed.
Oh. So all that other stuff that I said doesn't mean anything. It just means that I'm anointed. I'm anointed.
You know what the word anointed means?
Yes, I do know what the word anointed means. The word anointed means for the Christian that since God has saved him, that he has given a portion of his Holy Spirit, and that all of the truths of the text of God's word might come to mind in the believer's life at any time. Various times in the scriptures, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, after I'm gone, I will come again to you and remind you of these things. And then he would say that the world cannot receive what I'm saying, but you are able to receive it. So I know what that anointing is all about, Benny.
It's Christ.
What?
When you say I'm a Christian, you're saying I am Messiah.
When I'm saying that I'm a Christian, I'm Christ. Wait a minute, man. You're confused. No, I'm John.
I'm a little Messiah walking on earth, in other words.
No, I'm not a little Messiah. That doesn't mean that is not what it means when you say that you're a Christian.
That's a shocking revelation.
No, it's not.
We don't have a part of him running around our stomach feeling goosebumps.
What?
Yeah. His spirit and our spirit man are one.
What?
United. There's no separation. It's impossible.
Man, you know what? No wonder these people think that they're gods. Listening to this nitwit talk like that, I guess that when I have a sinful thought, when I get all horny and bent out of shape and, you know, eyes bulging on my head and looking at pornography and drinking whiskey and cursing and swearing and killing and choking people, that's a part of Jesus walking around in me, right?
The new creation is created after God in righteousness and true holiness.
Well, righteousness and true holiness would never make me like God.
The new man is after God, like God, God-like, complete in Christ Jesus. The new creation is just like God. May I say it like this? You are the little God on earth running around.
I'm a little God on earth running around. Well, that's what makes this idiot a word faith phony. Michael. And the lady said, yes, I cannot be.
When Jesus came,
okay,
he did not give us back Adam's office. He gave us his office.
You know, the more I hear this guy, the more.
Whoa. Here.
This is why angels to this day cannot rebuke Satan. Jude says, even Michael will not bring an accusation against the devil. Why? Because angels are lower today than Satan, who holds the office of Adam.
Go ahead, Benny.
All right.
But we, as joint heirs with Christ in heavenly places, are higher than Adam and angels.
Whoa.
Now, when Jesus came to earth, he did not destroy Satan. Hear me. He did not destroy Satan with angels' power. Had he been an angel would have come down to destroy him. Okay? When Jesus came, he destroyed the works of the devil with the power of the Holy Ghost. He destroyed the devil in the underworld with his Adamic office.
With his Adamic office, he destroyed the devil in the underworld. And you have to notice that when you listen to Benny and he's sitting on that stage there and they got this silly, stupid guy playing this funeral music, and Paul and Jan in the background, yeah, wow, ooh, wee, wah, brainless guinea pigs that they are.
Remember, when Jesus went to the underworld, the Holy Ghost wasn't there.
So, the Holy Ghost departed from Jesus when he went to hell. So that would make Jesus a rank sinner into the abyss, into the pit of darkness. You know, being buffeted by demons and Satan, Benny?
Father wasn't there. He destroyed him with his Adamic office. The second Adam faced the one who stole the office of the first and destroyed him.
Oh, so they were fighting. So Jesus was fighting Satan in hell. And
Whoa. You hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
So Jesus Christ destroyed the power of Satan on earth.
How did he do it if the Holy Ghost wasn't with him down there? He was just with manpower? Well, I guess that would make your doctrine of us being little gods like that, since Jesus was powerless and can ward off the most strongest angelic creature that God ever created, then we must have power. Benny, you must be telling me the truth, right?
But destroyed Satan.
Yeah, right.
In the underworld.
And
the Holy Ghost wasn't there.
And the Holy Ghost
wasn't there. Think about
that. I am thinking about it. It's ridiculous, just like you and your foolish. But go ahead, word faith, phony.
As soon as divinity returned.
So now today,
that's when his divinity returned. That's what Paul Crouch said. I think that was Paul Crouch. Let me rewind that and take that back a little bit, because I think that was Paul Crouch that said that. Listen,
Satan on earth, but destroyed Satan in the underworld, and the Holy Ghost wasn't there. Think about that.
As soon as divinity returned.
See, Paul tries to come in and say, now come on, man, we can't let his divinity go, Benny, because see, man, you got him down there with no divinity fighting Satan, and the people are confused, man. So Paul Crouch comes in and he says, oh, that's when his divinity returned. You know what, people? I can't afford to put more than 30 minutes of this soundbite up for the Word Faith Phonies for Benny Hinn. And he is numbered amongst the Beelzebubbers that some of you people are giving your money to. Please invite your friends to come to Pastor John's website and let them hear my discourse against this foolishness. And I would pray to God that you would never be seduced into believing such foolishness. I'm Pastor John Coleman, the senior teacher of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative, African-American Apologetics in the Real. I'm thinking through what the Word Faith Phony says. And let me say this, Benny's on his way to hell with Paul Crouch and the rest of them. And those of you that don't have enough guts enough to say it, you are most likely probably on your way to hell with them. because you don't even want them to go to hell, because you're looking at all the stuff they have and you want the stuff. You need to repent. This is Pastor John. Join us next time for the next Word Faith Phony. Here's an example of what we're going to hear.
So now today, when he rose from the dead, he did not give us back Adam's office. He gave us back his office. The Bible never says that Adam was seated in heavenly places, but we are. The Bible didn't say that Adam is an heir of God. We are. It didn't say that Adam is one with Christ and in Christ. We are. So today, angels cannot rebuke Satan, but we can, because we are on the same level as the Son on earth.
Well, that's Benny Hinn, and join me next time when I continue with my Word Faith Phonies.